beware, contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on
Dubious Intent.
This is Peter Rosenthal, head film critic for The Onion. Today, I'll be discussing Captain America Civil War, the latest action-packed entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is, unfortunately, extremely difficult to follow, given that only a handful of the characters have starred in previous feature-length films laying out their origin stories. Drawing together Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man, Ant-Man, and Winter Soldier in a climactic battle, Civil War certainly features some characters that will be familiar to moviegoers. Yet, how am I supposed to understand what's going on when nearly every scene features peripheral characters without their own individual franchises to flesh out their motivations and backstories? Just look at this mysterious extra in the black hat and leather jacket eating something. I don't know about his past or what side he's supposed to be on. Does he have a longtime nemesis? Does he stand with or against Captain America? At the very least, devote a 3-episode arc on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to him so that viewers have some kind of context. In scene after scene, I found myself throwing my hands up in utter confusion at what was supposed to be happening. Who are all these goddamn people?
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Dead Android Tablets. Catch their new debut album called The King of Clubs over at Android Music or on iTunes or anywhere where digital music may be sold. Check them out at deadandroidtablets.com and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI for a deceased discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer and I am joined from the Dead Android Tablet Free State of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing...
Oh, damn it.
Well, thank you for asking. Wait, that... Like, on the one week that we have nothing to talk about, you won't even, you know, let us stretch out like that bit. No, that one shut down.
I got distracted. I was reading something on a browser while you were going through the intro, and then you said, hello, Adam. How are you? Or whatever you say. Whatever you say. I don't even know what you say. What do you say? And then I just...
What do you mean? What do I say? I say it's the one and only Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
And
yes,
I don't even have any. Normally, I have some subject that I really want to go off on. And I think I've just like talked for we've talked for like 30 minutes with the chat room and I've just blew my wad, such as it were.
That's disgusting.
And so Adam. I didn't have, you know, ants are ridiculous.
Ants like as in ants like your mother's
the
sisters?
The insect called an ant.
Like Auntie Vera Charles.
I know I've talked about this before, and this is not one of the topics,
so you're talking about,
but
like
it
ants,
is on
like
my mind.
Like the things that Ant-Man can control with his mind. Well, he uses that hardware thing, but yeah, he uses the little thing to control his ants, those things.
It's on my mind. No, the actual insect, an ant,
yes.
Because
yes.
I literally go into the bathroom this morning,
yes,
and there are ants crawling all over the floor. It is like a... colony, an entire, it's more than a colony.
What the hell do you have on your bathroom floor that would attract ants?
Nothing. I don't have anything. Well, I will tell you this. So I really think that we need to hire people to clean the house. I don't have a nasty house, but there are things that like, you know, my mom is really good at like cleaning as she goes.
Yeah.
But you know, who vacuums all the time? I mean, who really vacuums once a week other than like your mother? I mean, do you own a vacuum?
I do, and I do vacuum once a week. Yes. I have three cats.
See, I'm like a college student. I'm not, and Mark, but I don't think this is the reason we have ants because I mean, we don't eat muffins in the bathroom.
Oh, apparently you do. You have something in there that that is attracting the ants?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And they're coming up out of the windowsill. And someone said, you think they're termites because they have wings as well.
Oh, yeah, but they're probably carpenter ants. Termites tend to not be active during the daytime. Like if you can see them, if they're running around when you can see them, they're probably carpenter ants because termites tend to be more
so
nocturnal.
First, I bought these ant traps that has this liquid
you
inside
bought ant traps. You didn't just spray.
Look, I'm supposed to be humane.
They're ants.
No, right? No, I'm just kidding. No, this, I bought ant traps, and what they do is it must smell like sugar or something.
It probably probably has sugar in it, yes.
You go up, they crawl up in there,
yeah.
But then they get stuck
right
in this liquidy, gooey, you know, substance.
That's so
right?
much better than spraying them with a neurotoxin. Wait, yeah, that's, I can
see. Well, no, I have a pet. I don't want to destroy, you know, I don't want to kill my pet.
Just think of it as like sending them on a little, because, you know, when they run around, like after they spray and they're all like running around like crazy and everything, that's because they're high. It's a neurotoxin. So they're
but I don't want to kill Sydney.
Or they could be having really bad trips. We don't know. It's like, you know, I don't know. One way, either they're having a great trip or they're having a really bad trip. But regardless, they're ants, Adam.
Trust me. I don't care about the ants.
They don't have the same, you know, like concerns that they're not like, you know, thinking rational creatures.
Like mice, you know, I'm not supposed to.
Well, mice are at least even further up the food chain than ants. It's like ants are relatively simplistic creatures.
Well,
except for Ant-Man, Adam. Except for Ant-Man, which he's awesome because he's an Ant-Man.
So because we're moving out of this house in like a month, I've started slowly cleaning things. So like when I'm in the shower,
I cleaned.
Well,
step by
when I'm
step.
In the shower,
yes,
I'll like, you know, I'll while I'm showering, I like take my foot and kind of rub the edges.
All right, let
of
me
the
ask
shower,
you this: you know, the Pontus Mycopolic folks were having this big, huge discussion over how often they laundered towels, which apparently, if you don't launder your towel every day, then you should live with Taffy Carlisle Huffington. No, I use my towel probably for 3 or 4 days before I wash it.
I go a week.
I've gone a week before, but I try to, I don't want like bacteria to build up in there, and I have lots of towels, and honestly, I'm usually trying to find things to round out a full load of laundry, so grabbing a towel, like, you know, bulks up the load of laundry a little bit, so.
Honestly, we have lots of towels too, but I don't know, I guess I just grew up that way that we like always, we used one towel per person.
Right. And when
we
you
hung
think
them
about
up
it, you're cleaning, you've just gotten out of a shower where you like had antibacterial soap on you and you shampooed your hair. He's like, you've just cleared yourself of all the dirt and grime and bacteria and stuff. And now you get out and you're drying yourself off. You're basically drying off a clean thing.
The only problem right now with us is Mark's towel hangs on a towel rack that's directly under the window where the ants are coming out.
Yeah.
And they will frequently drop off of the windowsill onto his towel.
Maybe.
So he's like toweling himself off with ants.
Maybe you should, if you washed your towels more often, Adam, that wouldn't happen. Maybe you should consider getting onto the once a day towel washing.
Maybe I should. And if I have I know they were talking about Taffy's vagina towel.
We don't need to talk about Taffy's vagina towel.
Well, I'm not going to talk about her, but I'm just, that's just a, you know, a segue into a cum rag. So, you know, if I have a cum rag or a cum towel.
Yes.
That gets thrown on the floor.
What do you mean if?
Well, you know, when? Well, sometimes you use a paper towel or, you know, there are other receptacles that can go in.
Okay.
But, you know, anyway, when you're cleaning yourself up, I mean, what do? You just throw it on the... You don't want to put it in the dirty clothes to, you know, mix your cum with all the other clothes in there. You just toss it on the floor.
I don't. So, I throw it in with the dirty clothes. What is so horribly dirty about cum that isn't, like...
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, if you sweat, it's just bodily stuff coming
out. That's true. But normally, I just throw it on the floor. And maybe my ants are cum-loving ants. Maybe that is what's drawing them. I'm throwing my cum rags on the floor. And you know what? I throw it on the floor under that same window.
When you said like maybe my ants are cum loving ants, I had forgotten that you had been talking about no, ants.
Insects.
I'm like, wow, that's an intensely personal look at Adam's family.
they could be, but I wasn't.
Like, wow, talk
wasn't
about oversharing.
About
yeah, my aunts are cum-loving aunts. It's my sister's my mom's sister, Elaine, she can't get enough of that cum. She's like,
Well, if she's anything like my uncle,
she's what they call a guzzler. That's what they call her, a cum guzzler is what they call her. Oh, Elaine cum guzzler, which it's a family name.
You guys should all go listen to the clip show.
Oh my God. Can I talk about this clip show for just a second?
One of my Trello topics. Are you going to wait. Yeah. Are you going to put it down in any way?
I was going to ask some questions. I'm not done listening to it. It's like a 2-hour show, and I just posted it like a little more than a couple of hours ago, so I haven't listened to the whole thing. But it seems really Vera heavy. It seems like some of those clips of Vera are going on for quite a long time.
Well, there's only 2 or 3 Vera clips. I had about 7 Baron Frosty clips in his episode.
Yeah, but Baron Frosty is charming and amusing. And, Vera is...
Watch out.
He's lovely. It's you had a lovely conversation with Vera, but you both kind of, it went on for a long time. It was interesting.
Oh, you mean the interview part?
Yeah.
Well, I was interviewing. I suck at interviews. In fact, I think I even started the conversation by saying I suck at interviews.
You did.
But I sat down with Auntie Vera Charles on Wednesday.
Now, did you actually did you stand to shake her hand and stuff and then sit down with her?
Well, we were on opposite sides of a video monitor. I mean, he was on,
were already sitting down. But so you did an interview with Vera. It's a lovely interview. Check it out over at the Clip Show. Someone asked me today if there is a feed for our Clip Show. If you go to iTunes and just search for Pride 48 Network shows, just Pride 48, and then you'll see it there. It's the Pride 48 Network shows. That has our State of the Stations and our Clip shows in them over there. Or you can just go to our website, pride48.com/shows, and it's the very first one up there. It says State of the Station. If you just click on that feed, that's our...
So actually, the Baron Frosty interview was about half an hour, and the Auntie Vera interview was only about 40 minutes, maybe 45, so... Mm-hmm. It wasn't that much longer than the Baron Frosty. So
I'm just
really,
teasing
Daniel,
you.
What you're
I'm
telling
teasing
me is
you, Adam. I'm just
you
teasing.
Find Auntie Vera to be boring, I think is what you're saying.
I didn't say
right
that
now.
At all, Adam. I didn't.
You're like, man, that Auntie Vera Charles dragged on
didn't
and
say that
drug
at all. But you know what? She did
on.
Have her 60th birthday yesterday, Adam.
She did.
I don't
he
know
did.
If you saw that or not.
Well, I was going to send him a card.
I know. And I heard you said this on the Clip Show.
Right. And I procrastinated till the last minute. And then it ended up there is no way that a card was going to get there. And so I called the voicemail, the Auntie Vera Charles voicemail, and left a lovely birthday message, and then sent him an Amazon gift card through the email. Mm-hmm. And also said happy, did that generic, happy birthday on Facebook that one will do, when you wake up in the morning and you check your Facebook thing and it goes, oh, this person and this person is having a birthday today. Would you like to write on their wall? And you're like, yes, please.
So that's what you did. So instead of sending her a personalized card, you basically just posted on her wall.
Well, no, I said there are 3 things. I called her show, his show. I sent an Amazon gift card through the email. And I left a message on the Facebook wall.
Wow.
And I gave him a talking to on the interview and kind of pepped him up a little bit about turning 60.
You're just like, you're aiming to be his favorite co-host.
Well, I am his favorite.
Oh.
I'm his favorite everything.
Hey, let me ask you this, Adam. What do these people have in common? What do you think these people have in common? If I were just to list this random name of people, what would you assume that they had in common? Bryan Cranston, Tom Hanks, Mel Gibson, Gina Davis, and Linda Hamilton. What do they all have in common, Adam?
Are they all friends of Auntie Vera?
They're all younger than Vera. No, they're all turning 60 this year. Those are all celebrities that are turning 60 this year. So see, Vera, you're in good company there with Bob Saget and Linda Hamilton. I don't know.
Well,
I had nothing else to
anyway,
say. That was it.
Auntie Vera is at home. With some company, I'm sure.
Could,
I think
no,
some company
the company left
up.
Today. I think I figured this out because she was just, I had a surprise guest this weekend. But then I saw today on Tom and Chicago.
It had to be them because they just, at a moment's notice, they just fly anywhere.
They show up anywhere. Yeah, no, but I saw today on Tom's Twitter feed that he had a picture of Eunice and Howard and said, goodbye, Eunice and Howard. So I'm assuming it was Tom and Terry, or at least Tom. And they left her. Which, by the way, is such a lousy excuse to not do a show. Like, if Tom showed up here, like, you know, to visit or whatever, showed up here, I would still do the show. I'd make him sing those theme songs live. That's what I would
Because
do.
The theme songs are so lovely.
I mean, you know that the theme songs is a play on movie recommendation time, which Vera...
Yeah, it's movie recommendation time.
That Gooch sang for Vera.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying. I do. They're not dumb. He's paying homage. He's paying homage to the what am I trying to say? The movie recommendation time. Oh, shit. I pressed the wrong volume thing. I was trying to do that. I was trying to interrupt myself with that, and I couldn't because I wasn't looking at what I was doing. Hello.
Hey, guys. This is Mags for Celebrity Duff Phone, and the name today is Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. I can already hear Daniel saying, who the hell is that?
Who the hell is that?
That is the man who gave the voice to Alfred, the Alfred Pennyworth, in the Batman the Animated Series. He was also in Mask of the Phantasm, and he played Alfred for quite a while, I believe. He was, and I just looked this up, which is something I didn't realize he was in. It was only for one season. He was Don Alejandro de la Vega in Zorro, which I remember for having Andre the Giant on it. I don't think that was the same actor at the time, but he appeared in a lot of things. So, yeah, I figured that that would hopefully count as one. So there you go. Have a good day.
Adam, he's appeared in many things. What do you say?
He died. Excuse me. I just drank some vodka and I can't talk now.
Wow.
He died on May 2nd, 2014.
So he died many years ago.
Yes, yeah. That is correct, sorry. Daniel. And that is our only Max. Celebrity death call for sorry. Tonight. And no, Mags completely choked.
No one important.
Mags, you completely choked. The one death call of the episode and the person died 2 years ago.
Do you think RT Cruiser is mad at us? How can we only have one celebrity death call in a week?
Like,
Did no one die?
I guess no one died. I don't keep up with the deaths as much as I used to because I depend on this show. You know, yeah. I sit down on a Sunday afternoon.
I wonder who died this week because you don't read it in the newspaper because you know that you're going to find out later, right? It's like, I wonder who died this week.
I want to be surprised when the death phone rings during the show.
Maybe just no one died. You know what, Adam? It's the beginning of spring. It's people are off doing things. They're too busy. They're too busy to do it. Look, you know, some people can't even be bothered to put out a fucking show. Not that I'm going to mention any names. It's all about me. But, you know, they're just like, they'll just sit on their ass and not even put out a damn podcast.
But do you really sit there with bated breath, like waiting on the It's All About Me?
I do, because there's so many people on hiatus or like going really slowly right now, not to mention any other names catching up. But it's like I'm running out of things. It's like I'm literally leaving work in the afternoon going, well, I've got 10 minutes of Pod as My Co-Pilot left and then nothing. So I have to like go try to find some one-off podcast to download just to fill up the commute on the way home, Adam. I tried to listen to local radio the other day and it was such a mistake. It's just like there was like static and it's like it wouldn't tune in right. And I was just like, what the how did we live like this? I remember as a kid like driving to go to like visit my grandparents or whatever, and so it's like you would take these long road trips where you would have to like you'd get a radio station and hope that it was coming in really weakly on this side of the station so that the signal would get stronger. And then you would have, you get to enjoy that radio station for an hour or two before you had to like switch, find another one because you were running out of range. I mean, it was such a bizarre world.
You could, there are audio books. You could certainly subscribe to Audible if you don't already do that and listen to some books.
Yeah, I could.
Maybe.
I could.
There are summer television programs that are starting to come out. I don't know. You may be in your car. I watch stuff in my car. I know that's not a good thing to do, but, you could watch things in your car. You could prop your phone up in the middle like I do. I have a little middle console thing, and I prop my phone up there.
That's illegal, Adam.
There is a Netflix, Frankie and Grace or Grace and Frankie, whatever.
Adam, I'm just saying I specifically like to listen to audio podcasts in my car. I have a list of podcasts that go on the one pod player. It's an old Moto X, but anyway, it's the one that's by my bed. The one that I listen to at night has a completely
all
different
night long.
As I've explained before, I have tinnitus, which is a ringing in the ears. And by having a podcast play there, then my brain doesn't focus on the ringing, which actually drives me crazy. But it doesn't matter, Adam. I live alone. I'm allowed to listen to podcasts overnight if I so choose.
That's why you're crazy. It's that ringing
it's
in your ears.
It's the damn ringing in my ears. But anyway, so I have a different list of podcasts over there. Because there's to be on my nighttime podcasting list, there's like it has specific criteria. It has to be like a well audio produced show. In other words, like it has to be a consistent audio level because you can't have like trying to sleep and someone screaming in the middle of a show with the volume like going way out of whack. Or
so you listen to It's All About Me?
No.
At night?
No, they're on my others. So then I have the ones I listen to in the car. And this is like my day to day, the ones that are on my phone, the one that I carry around with me from day to day. And when I'm walking around or when I'm cleaning the house or when I'm doing other things, the ones that I listen to when I'm driving the car, to my normal, you know, regular shows that I listen to. Everyone has been on a fucking break.
Now, I don't know how to, if I was a podcaster that did a well-produced show, or sorry, not well-produced, the audio sounds good and is all one level. Wait, and doesn't...
Our
doesn't,
audio is great. Why are you like saying on a podcast?
No, hear me out. So what you're saying is the well-produced shows get listened to at night when you're asleep and you're hearing absolutely nothing that they're saying.
No.
But the ones that don't have good audio quality, those are the ones you actually pay attention to.
No,
you know what they've said.
No. The ones that go on my... That was just one of the criteria for my nighttime thing. The other criteria is it has to be a consistent, like a daily show, which are like the Rachel Maddow show, the Daily Tech News show, things that are basically, they're more like corporate and they're more like they're going to come out that day. If the main host isn't there, there will be another host that will be doing that show. And it's, you know, it's just news stories and stuff like that. That's like things that don't really, if I fall asleep on them, I'm not going to, you know, it's not anything I'm trying to keep up with or anything.
Well, speaking of technical issues, I wanted to talk to you about, so Mark and I went to Beauty and the Beast we went to see the musical Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. So you didn't go to the theater and watch the animated classic Walt Disney's Beauty and the Beast?
We did go to a theater. But no, we did not watch the animated classic. This was a stage production.
Now, is it true that Robbie Benson still plays the Beast even in the stage show? Like he actually comes out there and plays the Beast in every performance? Is that correct?
I don't know who Robbie Benson is.
Oh my God.
No. So I mean, let me Google that day. I'm sure it was a joke that Alden would have got. What was the name? Robbie Benson? Let's see. Robbie Benson. I don't know. I don't know who this I see. Oh, he was in a 1991 movie, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that would be the 1991 animated movie, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah.
Well, then there's a 1997 Beauty and the Beast, the Enchanted.
That was the straight to video
Christmas
remake. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was okay. So let me tell you a couple.
Robbie Benson was the voice of the Beast in. All right. Okay. First of all, Robbie Benson was like a teen heartthrob back in the 50s or whatever. Anyway, here's, oh my God, you want to hear something hilarious? I just now realized looking here, he was born January 21st, 1950. He's 60 years old. He's the same age as Vera. He's Robbie Benson. That's the theme here apparently tonight is like people who are 60. Rob Benson, 60 years old.
Well, let me interrupt myself right now and say the chat room is getting completely restless.
About what?
Because we neglected to do the chat room roll call at the beginning of the show.
Oh, you know what, Adam?
Daniel,
you know what it was?
9:51.
No, you know what it was? Is that you threw it at the beginning of the show when you asked me how I was doing, when you were supposed to ask me how I was doing, and that completely threw off my rhythm. So it was like I didn't even know what that was. Here we want to say that it is 9:52 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that, of course, can mean only one thing. We were streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most annoying chat room. Adam, who is joining us in the chat room this evening?
We have someone posing to be Auntie Vera Charles. We have Cyclone. We have hashtag Tyler H, who we think is cute because Tyler is always the name of a cute person.
No, well, we know Tyler. Tyler is a listener to the RuPaul Drag Race recap show.
Well, I don't know what he looks like. I'm assuming that he's cute.
You can find him on Twitter at hashtag Tyler H.
All righty. All right. Overwatch Mags, Q Sledge, Yaz Mamadou, Good Humor Penguin, Lamont Cranston, Minion 51, and oh, yeah. And, you know, I could go over to Twitter and look for hashtag Tyler H or at Tyler H, but it's so much nicer just having this image in my head of what he could. I mean, what if I go over there and I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, I probably won't. He'll probably, but I don't want to bash my, you know, my thought of Tyler being a really cute name.
You'd be like, oh yeah, no, let me go and look at this picture. And he's very cute.
I'm just saying.
I see what you're saying. But if he doesn't fit your specific definition, you don't want to be that guy that like makes that squeaky voice kind of like,
Yeah. And even if I did look, I mean, I couldn't announce it on the show. I couldn't say, you know, that I was over, because then everybody would want my opinion and then, you know, et cetera. Anyway,
I'm sorry, I've completely fallen down a Robbie Benson hole here, because it's like, I'm just looking at these. He was so hot. Robbie Benson was so hot. Here's the thing. He did the voice of Beast in the animated film. And when the Beast, you know, you would think that I was done like with effects and everything. He did that. That was his, he didn't use any effects to do that voice. He did the Beast voice. That was like his own.
That's amazing.
You don't. It was amazing.
I wonder if Auntie Vera could do that.
Vera could do that in her sleep. Voice. She is a professional voice actor.
Now, is Robbie Benson a professional voice actor who they hired to do it, or was he someone that was famous before?
As I told you, he was already he had been like a teen heartthrob, and now he was old. This is later in his career, but yeah, he was.
Oh, okay.
No, but I mean, he wasn't a voice actor per se.
So we went to see Beauty and the Beast, and. Do you ever, I don't know. Because
now that we've cleared up that whole Robbie Benson joke, let's revisit that.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, Adam, is it true that Robbie Benson plays the Beast even in the stage show?
Why? Well, no, he does not.
Okay, great.
Now that I know who he is. So you ever, and I know this doesn't happen to you, Daniel, because you.
Thank God you didn't say like Pocahontas, because then I would have to pull like a David Ogden Stiers reference and you'd be what?
Okay. You live like 5 minutes away. You live in New York's backyard, basically.
I do. I live very close. It's more than 5 minutes, but I live very close to New York City. I can hop on a train and within, 90 minutes, I could be in Grand Central.
So you can, you always see like the original cast of everything, Broadway.
That's right, Adam. In the 4 years that I've lived here, I have seen every single Broadway play that there is ever produced. Occasionally I will go and see a play before it opens, but go ahead. What were you going
to say? Well, so living in a place where we only get traveling Broadway shows, have you ever had the experience of like getting maybe the third string cast?
I have. Yeah. You forget. I've only lived up here for 4 years. I've lived in I was born and raised in Florida. So
we go to this, musical. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I notice is the orchestra. And look, I'm a trumpet player. I love orchestras. Mm-hmm. And they had trumpets. I was really excited. But the orchestra is so loud, like super loud. And the voices were so quiet.
Wow.
Like you couldn't, and all of them, like all of the cast, their microphones were not loud at all. Like you could not, when they were singing,
you know what? I'm finding this on Broadway as well. I'm finding really like when I went and saw Peter and the Starcatcher, it's like the mix was so off. It was just kind of like, you know, some of them were just barely, you couldn't hear them at all. And it was just like, wow, this is, it surprises me how much bad sound engineering there is in the world.
Yeah. So I just pointed that out because I knew you would find that.
I would have been furious. I would have written that
strike
an angry
a chord
letter
with you. Then the Beast was not cute at all. Like, I mean, when they revealed him as the prince or whatever, you know, right at the end, he's like this homely looking, like he was not named Tyler. I'll tell you that right now. His name was like, I don't want to offend anyone. What's a name I could pull out that like no one's, you know, his name was like, I don't know. I don't want to say
Larry.
Anyone's
just
name
say Larry.
Because I might have been. Larry. Yeah, his name. But we have a Larry in the chat room.
Larry. There's a lot of people named Larry.
His name was certainly not Tyler. Anyway, that's all I've got to say.
Okay.
And Beauty.
Yes.
Had the biggest thighs. So Mark says to me. Mark says to me, she's dancing, and you know, on that be our guest, uh-huh. you know, blah blah uh-huh. blah. They have this dance, you know, they're dancing and they're pulling up their skirt, you know, they're doing that thing where they lift their skirts up or whatever. And Mark turned to me and he says, "She needs to stop pulling her skirt up. She has the biggest thigh." Like he couldn't get over it. He's like, "Beauty is supposed to be dainty. Beauty does not have." He's like, "I am sick of this." You know.
You know what, Adam? You were just. She just came off her run from Evita, and
I'm not saying she was fat. She could have been a very muscular, big-thighed lady, But she just didn't fit the what you think of as
she
beauty.
Didn't look like the animated character is what you're basically saying.
The animated character.
She
yes,
should have looked
sorry.
More like the animated character.
Right.
Right.
She you think dainty when you're thinking, you know, beauty. You have this dainty, you know, princess and the or you know, look and like, then this beast.
You're fat shaming Belle. This is so sad.
Mark says on the way home, Mark says to me, why did we ever get rid of fat shaming? Really? I mean, you know.
Oh, my goodness. That is so mean.
I did not say that. He said it.
Wow.
Was not me.
Send all your hate mail to mittens@pride48.com.
So, but the acting, you know, it was okay. It's okay. But it just wasn't. I could tell these people were like third string, you know, fourth string.
Well, this, yeah, the Beauty and the Beast stage show is a million years old. So yeah, that would be, I don't know. That's like, I know at the parks they have those stage shows which are completely different than the ones that they do in, you know, like that's based off the Broadway plays or whatever. Because the ones off
and
the
again, I know
are,
we have a bunch of bleeding heart liberal listeners to this show and, you know, they're going to think I'm calling somebody fat.
You are. She
could have.
Belle, look, she had the fattest thighs.
No. That it could have been muscle. It could have been muscle. I don't know. She had, what are those things? What's the thing called? The petticoat or whatever?
Sure,
that's underneath
we'll call it
the,
that.
No. The thing under the dress.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
The bloomers or whatever.
Sure, let's call them that.
It was covering up her leg. I could not tell if it was fat. She could have been muscular. So I'm not fat shaming anyone. Belle is just supposed to be dainty.
I'm not calling her fat. I'm just calling her not thin is what you're saying.
And
it's like, yeah, I don't want to fat shame her. I'll just average body shame her.
So the only other thing that happened, the other thing that happened to me, this particular theater, they always have theme cocktails. So the theme cocktail
let me guess. Was it, a Beauty and the Beast cocktail. Was it a, I can't think of anything. Was it? It was like.
I'll tell you what. It was god awful, but it was.
What was it?
It was blue.
It was
so
blue.
It was like blueberry, pineapple, like blah blah blah. And they made it. This one was made mainly for kids, so that it was a non-alcoholic
right.
version.
Because we need a cocktail of cocktail for kids is what we really need.
I saw so many 5-year-old little girls running around in yellow,
like hopped up on alcohol,
dresses.
Or were they just like they were there with their Chardonnay?
No, they were just so. So they have this, and,
you know, the sound mix was so off. I can't believe how benign this banal this is. Did I say that? I don't even know what that is.
They would spike it if you were an adult and you wanted it spiked. So they would put vodka in it. So I got vodka. But I'm sitting there in my chair. So
you need to work on where the breaks are in your sentences. Because you're just like, yeah, it's a cocktail for kids. They'd spike it if you wanted them to.
If you're an adult and you show them your ID, they'll spike. And they put, and this, I don't know, this seemed, it was kind of a disconnect, but it had whipped cream and sprinkles on the top of it. So I've got this spiked, you know, blue punch with vodka and like whipped cream and sprinkles. So I'm sitting in my chair before the show had just gotten started.
Was it called like the Blue Beauty or something? It's like, here's my adult cocktail, the Blue Beauty with the whipped cream and the umbrella.
Mark and I were trying to guess what the name of it was going to be before, but we didn't guess. It was just called the Royal Punch.
Ah, the Royal Punch.
That's all. Like when we went to Kinky Boots,
they have cocktails for kids too?
No, the cocktail for Kinky Boots was Kinky Booze.
Oh, see, Kinky Booze. Well, yeah, that was really clever there. They're probably a writer for RuPaul's Drag Race with all that.
They start the show, and I'm drinking, but I'm kind of leaning over.
Let me tell you,
over,
Adam,
you know,
you don't watch the show, but the word replacement is insane on that show.
No, I don't. So I'm intently watching this show, and Gaston comes out, and, you know,
no one walks like Gaston. No one talks like Gaston.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I spilled my drink into my lap.
You spilled your drink?
Whipped cream, ice. Sprinkles right in my crotch.
A royal punch. You took a royal punch to the crotch.
And in the seat, and it was soaked into the seat, so I was sitting in it like for the rest of the night. And this guy next to me felt so bad that he got a washcloth. His wife had a washcloth in her purse, a dry washcloth. He got it and like handed it to me for me to use. And then I'm using it. I'm drying up the seat and everything. And then I'm thinking, oh, wait, what's the proper way? Should I give this back
to him? Here's the thing. All I see is you're basically you're sitting there. You spill this thing. And then some old dude shows up with a rag. And he's just kind of like, hey, you want me to get that off your crotch there for you, boy? Let me use
one of those fuzzy washcloths.
Oh, you got a little bit more down here. Let me get that off down here.
It was like a cum rag. I mean, it really was like something that you would have used. And he hands it to me. I'm just like, oh, thank you. You know, and I think, well, I've got to use it because he handed it to me.
Clearly, he doesn't throw it into the dirty clothes because he doesn't want to contaminate his other clothes. He just carries it around with him to avoid that whole problem.
And I don't know what to do with it afterwards, so I just kind of put it on the armrest in between us. And I was like, if he picks it up, then he wanted it back. If he doesn't pick it up.
It's like a Mr. Bean skit. Like, I expect you to pull out like some kind of dental floss and try to make like a little clothesline between the chair arm and the chair seat in front of you. And like try to hang the little cum rag over the little thing.
I should have asked him, how often do you wash your towels?
Wow. No, I was going to talk about this thing that I went and saw, but apparently you're...
Go ahead. I was done and I don't have to... Forget about my other cards. That was enough. So you can talk about your other thing.
You know what, Adam? It's fine. We can talk about whatever we want. It's our show. Not yours. Not theirs.
No, I know, but the other stuff's not interesting. I was just trying to fill time. So you can, if you have something that you want to talk about, go right ahead.
I would like to talk about anyone out there who might be looking for a daddy on Mother's Day.
What?
You should contact me. That's all.
What thing did you see?
I went and saw this movie. Have you heard of this Captain America guy? Rogers.
Can I just say, if any of Daniel's coworkers or his boss listen to this show, this is made up for comedic purposes. But we get a message from Daniel Brewer on Friday saying he's got I'm going to paraphrase here, but a very urgent meeting at work.
Yes.
And attached to that text was a photo of a ticket to Captain America. This was in the middle of the day. So if any of you would like a job like Daniel Brewer's,
you don't want a job. I'm telling you. So here's the thing is I went and saw this Captain America. Now, I am a huge MCU nerd. It's like I had to cough. I love since they came out with I've been in since day one on the MCU is what I'm trying to say. Like since Iron Man, and I walked away from Iron Man going, yeah, that was a fucking great movie. And then they started building on that with the wider Marvel Cinematic Universe, for those of you who don't know what MCU is. And I love it. I'm so in on this whole concept, right? Of like, I don't have to like start again from square zero at the beginning of every movie. This is like a big, wide, expansive universe that all these things happened in, right? So it's like, even though Guardians of the Galaxy hasn't directly affected any of these people, it happened within that same time frame, right? It's like, it's just like, I'm so in on this whole idea. Anyway, this movie, this Marvel, Captain America, Civil War, so fucking good. It is so insanely fucking good. And I went in there with like really high expectations and it was still really fucking good. I was just like, it was just like, wow, this is really good.
Now, who wins, Iron Man or Captain America? I mean, that's all we want to know.
No one wins. It really, at the end of the movie, there are still two sides. So it's not they reach an uneasy truce, but there's no, neither side really wins, Adam.
Oh.
But what I'm trying to say, here's the thing, is that they've tried to do Spider-Man numerous different times before. And this movie, this Tom Holland in this movie that plays Spider-Man, so totally nails the comic book Spider-Man. He's got the right amount of sarcasm, the right amount of wit, the right amount of awkwardness to it. It's like that. I would go and see. I mean, lucky for me, there is a Spider-Man movie coming out next year, but I'm saying that you get to go and see him in Spider-Man. The single best move that Sony ever made was giving Marvel back the rights to use Spider-Man.
I'm gonna say something that's controversial, and I know you're not a fan of DC anyway, and so for many reasons this might be a controversial statement, but
I am not a fan of DC because I feel like they lack soul a lot of times. To me, DC comics are kind of like more tropish. I know. See, I don't want to say anything bad about. Anyway, go ahead, Adam.
That's fine.
They're not as human as the Marvel. To me, Marvel characters are more human, and I'm just more invested in that universe.
I have not seen Batman versus Superman, et cetera. But what I will say is I've kind of liked the dark turn that they've kind of put on a lot of their stories, because to me, it makes the story a little grittier, a little more interesting. It gives you a little more meat to chew on, et cetera, et cetera. Where one thing I don't always like about any superhero type movie is it's mostly just action, you know, bubblegum kind of action. Right. And there's no story. Yeah, I mean, there's no real story to like, and this is totally not comic book at all, but Transformers, for instance, and you and I talked about this.
They are robots. Like they are robots in scenes. Disguise, Adam. They're literally in disguise. Like some of them are boom boxes. Some of them are dinosaurs. Some of them are cars.
True. And I find that some of the...
I feel like they were fish or dogs or something. Wasn't there like some really weird...
dinosaurs.
Yeah, I know the dinosaurs, but didn't they also have like another one, like, you know, like they're like pound puppies or something, like some kind of weird cross promotional thing between pound puppies and Transformers, I think.
I'm not sure, but probably. I know they had cassette tapes. Back when I was little, I had the boom box. And he had actual cassette tapes that were also robots.
Wow.
And you could like little mini cassettes. Anyway.
And now people are just like, I don't, what the fuck is a cassette?
Well, so I find that some of the Marvel movies do kind of go along the lines of bubblegum, sort of lots of action and hokey jokes.
Name one of the Marvel movies that you feel goes along that line.
Well, I feel that way about a lot of the Avenger movies. I can't give you a specific one.
Well, there's only been two Avenger movies, so.
I like them. I enjoy them. But I'm just saying, I don't, and I know you don't go to a superhero movie for depth, but I really don't get a lot of story. There's usually
If you go to the X-Men, which is Fox, it's not Marvel. So it's like all of those X-Men movies are not part of this universe. So I, you know, they're not ones I'm talking about. Spider-Man has not been part of this universe until now. And the Fantastic Four is not a part of that universe. Even though those are Marvel characters, they signed away the rights to those a long time ago, the movie rights to those a long time ago. So
do you feel like there was, I guess my question is, do you feel like there was story that you could sink your teeth into?
Oh, yes. Or was it more? This okay. was so good. That's what I'm saying. On every level, this movie was so damn good. It was insane. And it's like, I would highly recommend that you go and say, I'm going to go see it again at least once or twice more. It was just such a good movie. It's like little things that you just, you really appreciate. Like the general from the Hulk movie, from the Incredible Hulk movie, is now the Secretary of State. But they keep the same actor because it's that same universe, right? And you remember, oh, that's right. He's got his own agenda. He's got his own, like, you know, his Hulk-hating agenda that he's going on there that kind of manifests itself in the middle of the movie. But yeah, it's like, it's just a really, it's such a nice, and I hate to say this because it sounds so, like, smarmy or whatever, but it's just like, it's just a nice tapestry that they've built that they can then tell these stories on. And it's like, even though there were 12 characters in this movie, right? 12, not primary characters, but yeah, primary characters, not main characters. But like, so 12 important characters in this movie, you didn't really feel rushed in any of it. You didn't feel like, you know, I am Spider-Man and I like got bitten by a radioactive spider and I got all these things and then I was a teenager. And it's like, it didn't feel like they were like trying to cram a whole bunch of narrative into like a little, you know, single thing or whatever. It's like pretty much, you know, it just worked. It was such a good movie. Oh, Adam, such a good movie.
So is, she is. So Elizabeth Olsen is in this movie.
Elizabeth Olsen is in what
Elizabeth
movie?
Elizabeth Olsen is in Captain America Civil War.
Oh, wow.
And she, I don't know which character she played, but I just want to point out.
Oh, she plays the Scarlet Witch. Happened? Yeah, she plays the Scarlet Witch.
What happened to Mary-Kate and Ashley that they went off the deep end and they're so weird, but yet their sister Elizabeth has it all together and has this flourishing acting career, and Mary-Kate and Ashley are just like smoking something, you know, in France and being too skinny. I don't know. I'm just...
Well, here's the thing, and this is kind of one of those... she's the younger sibling, right? So it's like she... A lot of times younger siblings learn from their older siblings that make the mistakes, right? It's like, kind of like, the parents learn, like, of the right. things like, oh, we don't want another set of spoiled kids like them, so let's do things differently on this one. But, yeah, probably that. It's like anything that you get, you know, a chance to improve upon, or you get, you know, a chance to make your own story. Like siblings, I feel like siblings
Ellen
are,
the other
yeah,
day.
Go ahead.
I saw her on Ellen the other day, yes. And she just seems so normal.
Wow.
Whereas you always hear about.
She's so normal.
about, well, you always hear about Mary-Kate and Ashley, you know, how they're, I loved them because they were, you know, they were on Full House. They were, what was the name of the little kid? I can't remember her name now, but anyway.
The little kid.
Beloved child actors, actresses, and then all of a sudden, you know, they just, anyway.
I think all of a sudden you heard about it. I don't think it just happened all of a sudden. It's not like they walked out of their apartment one day and just like, you know, did crack. It's like there was probably stuff leading up to that. I'm just saying, it's like, it's not like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like you just get up in the morning and just like, you know, that crack's been sitting there for a week, and I guess I'll just go ahead and do that now.
Yes, Mamadou in the chat room says they found out they had no talent.
Right.
They're incredibly wealthy, you know, but I just think they turned out kind of weird. But
anyway. Well, Elizabeth Olsen plays a Scarlet Witch. She does a really good job of playing Scarlet Witch.
So you would recommend we all go see it. So the net worth of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Oh, my God. We're still on this?
It depends on where you look. But I'm seeing $300
million. $300
million
at the Ashley, Kate, and Mary, Kate, and whatever, the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
Worth. They didn't even play a full character on the Full House. They basically both played half of a character, right?
Yeah, but you know, they went on to have many, many other teen movies.
And by many others, you mean two or three, right? Before, it's like, it wasn't like there was 13 different Olsen twin, you know, movies. It wasn't like
richer.
The Hardy Boys. It's like, wasn't like there was just like, you know, volume after volume of the Olsen twin movies.
They're much richer than their sister Elizabeth. She only is her net worth of $1.5
million. Wow. So, that must suck. It must suck so bad to only have a net worth of $1.5 million. That's...
It must.
That's probably really shitty. I'm going to guarantee you after this movie, this past weekend, I would say that that's probably going to be upgraded.
Probably so.
I'm going to say her.
Anyway, so I am going to go see it, but you know what? I'm going to admit something.
What?
We haven't seen Age of Ultron. So I feel like we need to see Age of Ultron before we go see this one.
Yes, you do. You need to. Yes, you absolutely do, because it's part of this wider universe. It builds upon that. There are things that happened in Age of Ultron that are directly referenced in this film. That, I mean, if you were off the street, like walked in there and watched this movie without having any knowledge, it's like, yeah, right? It would still be an okay movie. But you really get to appreciate it when you're fully invested in that universe. Like, you understand why Iron Man is doing X, Y. You understand why, you know, something can happen to his power source or whatever. And it's just like, well, why didn't he die? You know, his power, because that was addressed in the last movie when he had the surgery to, you know, to have the metal fragments removed. So he didn't need it. He just used it. He doesn't have the power source inside of
him. Spoiler.
No, that was at the end of Iron Man 3. That was like, you know, 2 years ago. But all I'm saying is that there is a lot of backstory that just makes it a richer film if you actually know those things. That's what I'm trying to say. That's all
Jungle
I want to
Book
say.
Was fantastic, Daniel.
Jungle Book. I heard that the Jungle Book was silly. That's a direct quote
it.
From Nico Martinez. Let's move
well,
on,
really
Adam. Let's
it.
Do this over here.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yeah!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
The Dubious Intent birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will figure out whose birthday it is without cheating and looking in the chat room, unless, of course, I get stuck, in which case I will totally cheat because I am a cheater. Adam, what is our first musical cue this week for our birthdays?
Oh, sorry. I was looking at Twitter. All right.
What were you looking at on Twitter? What was so important
I like to check my Twitter feed occasionally.
It's like, oh, well, the Dora song's playing, and so I know I got to start playing some birthday things. You know what? I think this is a good time to go and check Twitter.
Well, exactly. I mean, because that is what we do. Oh, crap. That started really quickly. Okay. Yeah, that's what we do is we go check Twitter. All right. So here is our first clue.
Wait, was there anything happening on Twitter? Now, is this the actual theme song to something, or is this a remake of a theme song?
I don't know. I just type things into YouTube. I think it is the actual theme song to something, but I didn't watch this particular thing.
I don't recognize that. So I move along. Is there another clue?
Yeah, there is. So I'll play the other one.
I'm getting yelled at in the chat room. How can I not know? I was outside talking about time with my grandson when out of nowhere, 400 police vehicles came booking. They were busting us. The theme to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, right?
It is the theme to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
So that first one, I don't know what the first one was. What was it the theme song to, the first one?
Why don't you get? If I tell you that, it might help you out. Who was the who's the birthday?
For the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Sure.
The Kimmy Schmidt.
What's Kimmy Schmidt's name?
I don't know who
Daniel.
Plays her. It's the chick that plays Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay, it is Kimmy Schmidt's birthday. Although that's a little bit of a precarious win there, since you didn't know her. It is Ellie Kemper.
I see. I never would. If you could have given me that like multi choice. Like, and that could have been buried, I would have guessed something totally different than...
The first theme song was The Office.
Oh. See, I never watched The Office. I just never got into The Office.
Ellie Kemper, I think her claim to fame is The Office. That was her first...
Okay.
You know, I can't say that was her first thing. But anyway, she's 36 years old. She is the only, as far as I know, she is the only person... to have hosted the Ellen DeGeneres show besides Ellen DeGeneres, because Ellen DeGeneres was sick. How many, you know, say DeGeneres three times.
DeGeneres,
really,
DeGeneres, DeGeneres?
It's really difficult. Okay, here we go. She's 36, and here is our next birthday. With the wind in my face, life is good.
I love Hollywood. Oh. Isn't this the Hollywood Squares?
It is Hollywood Squares.
That is the
wow,
theme to the Hollywood
you.
Squares. Now, I of course am more familiar with the Peter Marshall era of Hollywood Squares, because that was a big deal when I was like 4 years old. My parents would watch that with Peter Marshall. It was probably like my first words were like, you know, center square or something.
Well, because I'm a little bit younger than you.
Yeah.
That version of Hollywood Squares is the one that I remember from when I was from when I was growing up, but. I do have, you may have a guess, but I have a couple of more hints here, okay. Just so right. Yeah. You can be sure. So okay. Let's listen to this.
All right, this is America's Funniest Home Videos.
It is America's Funniest Home Videos, and that may not even be the theme that was used when this person, oh, I don't want to give away too much. I think right. You know who it is already, but.
So they were on the America's Funniest Home Videos, and they were on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, and one more. Here we go.
Here we go. This is, of course, the brass-heavy theme of Dancing with the Stars. I know you like it because there's trumpets in it.
I do. It's so hard to find that theme on YouTube. This is like the Israeli version of that show.
It's a great little song, too. And then the recorded version that you get on Google Play is shit, because it's just like the studio version of that is just shit. So, yeah, I agree with you. I feel your pain there, brother.
It's hard to... Anyway, so we have
that's just not
Hollywood thing. Squares.
Hollywood Squares. I'm going to go with Tom Bergeron. Is it Tom Bergeron's birthday, Adam?
It is Tom Bergeron. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, Daniel, and say... Tom Bergeron is my favorite host.
Really?
I really think that he is. I like his hosting.
So screw
style.
You, Drew Carey.
I mean, I do like Alex Trebek.
No, fuck you, Alex Trebek.
But,
no, I'm sorry.
Is it Alex or Alec? Anyway.
It's like, no, I'm sorry, Alec. The answer is Tom Bergeron. Tom Bergeron.
All right. So here is, anyway, Tom Bergeron is 61 years old. So, if it had been last year.
I don't know. You know, he's no Bill Cullen.
He would have. Bill Cullen? What the hell? All right.
I swear to God.
So here's
Fatty,
anyway.
Fatty just laughed, and he's the only person that laughed at that. Okay, go ahead.
Here's our next one. All right.
Oh. Too soon. Too soon. I was such a Michael Landon fan, and he died so tragically. It was just like...
He died like 20 years ago.
I know, but he was like, he was on talk shows, like, right, because he had brain cancer, and he was just like one of those... Anyway, that's Little House on the Prairie. That was the theme to that. Yes.
All right, so this is an ensemble cast.
It is. Now, there are many characters in the Little House on the Prairie.
This is a little bit of a stretch. You really have to be cerebral to get this next set of clues.
I'm ready.
So I'm going to give you two more.
All right, I'm ready, Adam.
And I'm gonna tell you. No, I'm just going to see if you get it. So, and I'll give you another hint if you can't.
This is... the theme to Roseanne.
Yes, okay. It is the theme to Roseanne. Yep. Now I have one more, but does this?
Well, Sarah Gilbert was in Roseanne, and Melissa Gilbert was in Little House on the Prairie, and they're related.
That's correct.
So is it Melissa Gilbert's birthday?
It is Melissa Gilbert. Look at that.
There we go.
Because you know what? Melissa Gilbert hasn't been in crap since Little She's been she's been in made for TV movies, but I mean, you're not going to know the theme song to some USA Up All Night, you know, movie or something.
Adam, you would be surprised.
Well, you remember that USA Up All Night.
Melissa Gilbert. You Rhonda know, she Shear. Was in Switched at Birth. She's on that television show, Switched at Birth. She was also on. Oh, yeah. A lot of shitty movies.
Right? Right? I mean, and you can't... TV movies, like, you can't... You don't know the theme song
to them. Do you know the theme song to Danielle Steele's Zoya?
Right.
Or that blockbuster Christmas in My Hometown?
She's 52 years old.
Apparently, if you need a Danielle Steele novel acted out, like a romance novel, Melissa Gilbert is your go-to actress, because she was also in Danielle Steele's Safe Harbor.
Yeah, that's what women do. They star in these Lifetime movies.
From the checkout stand to the television, Melissa Gilbert.
All right, she's 52. Moving right along, we have two more. So here is our next one.
Okay.
There's a place you gotta go for learning all you ought to know about the facts of life. The facts of life.
All right. This is an odd version of that. Was this like from a specific season or something? But yeah, this is the theme to the facts of life.
It is. You know, that's the theme song. That is the season one theme. I just wanted to pick a different one because, you know,
we have no budget for this. Like, my nieces really want to be singers. All right, here, I got a song for them to play, to sing.
No, Edna Garrett herself sang on that original theme song.
Girls.
Yeah, okay, so you won't know from that, but this person was in Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah, and Mr. Mike in the chat room knows that it's season one because apparently they're just now getting that in Canada. This sounds very serious, Adam. Is this ER?
It is ER.
I've never seen it before, but I recognize that theme song for some reason.
Yeah, it's ER. So I have one more. Do you know who it is based on Facts of Life and ER?
I do not, because I've never seen ER, but I'm well versed in my Facts of Life. But no, if you have another clue, I will take another clue.
Okay. I have no idea what this clip is that I'm about to play, so we'll see.
Anyone who can get out right now. Do not look up. Do not make eye contact. Just go. Lee, stay calm. I'm right here.
We're live in 5 minutes.
You have the revisions for the opening.
We're still making some changes.
Am I going to get the changes before the show or after?
This sounds very dramatic and very sci-fi-ish.
It
always sounds so simple
and yet so moronic. It's a movie that's coming out.
The Wizard of Wall Street himself.
The name is Lee Gates. The show is Money Monster.
Oh, there are some Money Monsters.
Should I sell?
So George Clooney is the common denominator. Is this a correct statement, George Clooney?
That is a correct statement.
I'd forgotten George Clooney was the grocer delivery boy or something on the original Facts of Life. Like, didn't they? Mrs. Garrett went and opened Edna's Edibles, and he was like the delivery boy or something.
I don't remember what part he played, but he was a part in The Facts of Life, and then he was in ER for many seasons.
No, it couldn't have been. No, because Edna's... Well, okay. All right. So the theme you played was for season one, but you didn't mean he was an original character on Facts of Life. No, because the original few seasons of Facts of Life, they were at the school for girls, and then they left and started the George Clooney era.
They were always at the school for girls, but they moved. They were not on campus anymore. She moved out and opened her Edna's Edibles, and the girls moved in with her. They were still going to school there, and then, you know, et cetera. Then it changed.
You
seem
to
think
you know way too much about the Facts of Life, Adam.
And then what's her name? The replacement to Edna Garrett. What's her name?
Took over. Yeah. What's her name? Cloris Leachman.
Yeah, Cloris, I didn't like her as much. Anyway, so...
It's not as bad as when Sandy Duncan took over for Valerie Harper, because that was... Anyway, go ahead. All right, this is our final
George
one, right?
Clooney.
Is this our final
we
one?
We have one more.
This is our
George Clooney
one.
Is 55 years old, and here is our last
You could
birthday.
Have said that he was 60 just to make Vera feel better.
Everybody loves the things you do, from the way you talk.
All right. I don't know this song, but I think I recognize the sultry tones of Adele. Is that Adele singing?
Well, I had one other song.
Yeah. I know this one. Yeah. So this is Adele. Is it Adele's birthday?
It is. It is Adele.
Oh, is she 60?
I love Adele. I didn't. You know, Adele may be replacing my love of Mariah. I don't listen to music a lot, but Adele just seems like such a down. You know, I don't know what she's like at home, but her live concert in New York, the one they did recently in November, she seemed like such like a normal part. Like,
I know when
you would
want to have her and what's her name, Kelly Clarkson, like come over and just like hang out for dinner.
She's like, and I don't know if you've ever watched any of those karaoke in the car. What's it called? That guy who took over for
James
one of the late
Corden.
Shows.
Yes, James Corden.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the,
and he does karaoke in the car with, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, but anyway, her concert in New York, she was like telling them, oh, guys, it was much better on the CD. And like laughing at herself and stuff. And like telling them, oh, she was so nervous. And she seemed like so like just down to earth, like whatever.
I see the Cyclone is pointing out, you know, she's no Vicki Lawrence, Adam. She is not the talented powerhouse that is Vicki Lawrence.
Anyway, Adele is 28 years. I want to see her, but her tickets sold out like immediately. I'm sure I could go to StubHub and stuff. She's going to be in Dallas, I believe, in like November. But I think I would have to.
You know what, Adam? We had some
StubHub
birthdays here on the Pride 48. Place that thing, that Pride 48 thing.
Yes,
we had on the 3rd. We had Steffi. Whose birthday it was on the 13th. Oh, we're not at 13th yet. Sorry, 13th. Hold on. It was just the 3rd. Now, why isn't Vera listed on the website? Well, I'll tell you why. Because she never signed up for a free Pride 48 account and she never put in her birthday. Because we don't know. You have to tell us. But we do happen to know that it was Auntie Vera Charles' birthday on the on the 7th, right? Yesterday. On the 7th. Is that correct?
Her birthday was on yesterday.
Yes.
Whatever yesterday was.
Were you checking Twitter again? I just suddenly was like all the forward momentum just drained right out of that bit. I don't even know what I was trying to say.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, happy birthday, Steffi and Auntie Vera. And if you have a birthday and you'd like to have it listed on our website, make sure that you, unlike Vera, go sign up for a free Pride 48 account. And when you fill out your information, check the little checkbox next to you. Yes, I would like to share with everyone when my birthday is so that I can hear it on the show. It doesn't actually say that because that would be too long to print. And it would really kind of, you know, formatting wise, it would be like, but that's basically the general gist behind it. So.
Do need like a news department. We need a dubious intent news department,
really?
Like, you know, with paid individuals. So we're gonna play the game again. Do you have that peppy music that you played? You probably don't. Oh, look at that. Well, you saved it.
It's in the folder. That's how I ran across it the first time. It was the it's in this folder that says this is the music for the game. Remember, This is the music for the game. It's the music that we play when we play the game.
Yeah, so this is a game where I read three
headlines. Hold on. That's right. I'm like trying to figure out why there's extra music coming out. I like didn't stop the other thing. So no, wait, let's start this again, Adam. Let's get this properly here. Here we go. Maybe this is it without Stevie Wonder behind it.
So in this segment of the show, thanks to Daniel's nephew
it's time
Derek,
for the news game. News game.
We have
what headline
we have converted.
We read? Oh, go ahead. Yes, I'm sorry.
The news segment into a game.
It is. It's a game. It's a fun
Brewer,
game, and I am batting a perfect score of missing right now.
You have missed it. I don't, you know what? I don't think you're going to, well, I shouldn't say that because that's probably giving you clues, but you're two for two in the failure column.
I am.
At the moment. So I'm going to read three headlines.
Yes.
Two of them are false.
Two are fake.
One of them is true. And Daniel has to guess.
Now, you know, Adam, are you familiar with the Price is Right conundrum?
I'm familiar with The Price is Right, but I'm not familiar with The Price is Right.
So there is a famous mathematical puzzle. Well, not a puzzle, but it was a huge, huge argument in the math community. Because this really smart person, this Marilyn Vos Savant, said, hey, if you had three doors on the stage, like on Let's Make a Deal, right? And you had chosen door number one. That was your choice, Adam. You chose door number one. And then Monty Hall comes over to you and he says, you know what? I will let you switch your choice right now. But first, I'm going to show you that behind door number three, there's a donkey, right? So he like takes number three out of the picture. So now there's just two doors left. The one that you chose, number one, and the door that he has yet to be chosen. He's like, you know what? I'm going to let you switch your choice if you want to. Do you want to switch your choice? And the mathematical question that was asked was, are there better odds if you switch? And the answer from Marilyn Vos Savant was, yes, indeed, Adam. It is a much better choice. You should always switch because you have a 66% chance of being right if you switch. Based off the fact that you had a 66% chance of being wrong when you first picked. But anyway... There's math people that went insane over this, and they're like begging her to take it back, and they're like going, no, no, it's always like an equal, always, 33%, and then it's a 50-50 at the end, which is completely wrong. Here's my point, Adam. If I miss it this week, then next week, I want you to eliminate the false. If I don't know, then I want you to eliminate the false one and then let me pick a second time. That's what I'm saying, Adam.
All right, we'll see. All right, so here are the three. These are all...
Did you follow any of that, or were you checking Twitter? I just want to...
No, I followed all of it. You said something about a 66% chance if you eliminate one door.
You're saying, Adam, that I would have a better chance of getting this right if you were to eliminate...
Well, look, that's the fun of it. We don't want to give you a better chance.
Oh, yes, we do, Adam. It's always more fun when I win. Go ahead. What are our examples here? What are our stories here tonight?
Headline number one.
Is it about Melissa Gilbert?
No. Okay. Headline number one. Ted Cruz blames God for defeat in epic Twitter meltdown.
Yeah.
All right. Headline number two. Some visitors to the U.S. could be denied entry without biometric passports.
So we have Ted Cruz angry at God. People can't come into the country without biometric passports.
And number three.
Yes.
Woman causes pileup after seeing Jesus in her Kit Kat.
Woman caused a pileup. A traffic pileup or just like a pileup?
A 10-car pileup.
So cars. It wasn't like she, you know, was like going into a Hank Williams concert, whatever, and like stopped at the gate and like caused a pileup of people, the car people.
You know, I saw a 5-car pileup on Wednesday or Thursday on my very highway.
Really?
It was amazing.
Oh, I'm so scared here because I know what I want to go with, Adam. I know what I want to go with as the truth. But I feel like you've got deep game going here where you're like, you're trying to mislead me because you're going to like, wait, see, not all Christians are stupid or whatever. I'm going to go, and I'm going to go with my gut, though, Adam. I'm going to say it's the woman who saw Jesus in a Kit Kat.
That's the true one.
I'm going to go with that is the true story.
Daniel, I don't understand why you cannot pick a fucking true story to save your life. I mean, that is the most absurd story out of the three. Like, you couldn't have picked a more absurd title.
Oh, my God. No. And look, chat room is agreeing with me that they would go with it. Yeah, that's totally plausible that someone would pull off the road, cause a trial, you know, pilot, and then they would say, I thought I saw Jesus in my Kit Kat bar. That's totally, I can see the news. That is just like such a made-for-news story that I just like everyone in the country would jump on that story. And tonight in Cleveland, a woman caused a 10-car pileup when she thought she saw Jesus in her Kit Kat. So we'll stay tuned. That'll be right after sports coming up next. It just seems like a news story. All right, fine. So it was not that. So it wasn't that. So it's either Ted Cruz is pissed at God or people can't come in the country without biometric passports. Yeah.
But you've already lost, so I'll just tell you. So new legislation introduced in the... Oh, sorry. Play the real news music now.
Oh, wait. That one is... Under the... Oh, I see. Oh, I got to go here to do that. Okay, yeah. All right. Real news story. Okay, where's the fake news? Okay, there we go.
All right, new legislation introduced in the wake of the San Bernardino shooting.
So glad I'm playing that the news music, Adam.
Means British citizens intending to travel to the U.S. with passports more than 9 years old could be turned away at the airport as of the 1st of April, 2016. Tourists must have biometric passports if they want to visit the U.S. under the Visa Waiver Program, which allows travelers from 38 approved nations to apply for and receive a 90-day visa online. The change came as a part of the Visa Waiver Program Improvement and Terrorist Travel Prevention Act of 2015, intended to tighten border security amid fears that terrorists could take advantage of the relaxed requirements to enter the U.S.
Wow.
So there you go.
It's such a simple thing. It's like, I don't even know why it would be a controversial thing, but people are just so fucking weird about, like, anytime you say biometric or whatever, they just, like, immediately...
Well, what do they mean by... Are they, like, they have to pee in a vial this vial around on the...
No, remember when we went into... Every day when we went into Universal and we put our finger on the little thing there?
Oh, so like a thumbprint.
Sometimes a thumbprint, but sometimes they can also do biometric, which means, like, taking the measurements of your bones and two fingers. Like, if you've ever gone into Disney where they don't take your fingerprint, they just take, like, or maybe a handprint where they, like... You know, they analyze the bone structure.
I think they should do eye scans.
Yeah, that would be biometric too. Anything that is based on your biology is a biometric. Measuring your biology would be a biometric. Let's see. So it's like anything. So thumbprints or fingerprints or whatever. It's just, it's so stupid. But people just get so like weird in the whole privacy thing. I don't want Facebook to know my fingerprints. Then they might steal the stuff off a government computer and frame me like I saw in that movie. Anyway, I don't know why Fatty thinks that, but apparently he does.
We had an article around here. Apparently, the federal government is making a change to something about your IDs. Yeah. And there was a news article saying that if Arkansas did not comply with the new driver's license requirements, that the airport might not accept an Arkansas driver's license as proof of identity to be able to fly.
Wow.
Apparently, we got an extension, but there is some new thing that they have to do in the process of obtaining your driver's license or your ID that currently the Arkansas state government does not comply with.
So Yasmin Badu in the chat room is asking, don't ears grow over time? But here's the thing, and this is, I'm going to quote this wrong.
And nose.
But it's not so much that, it's that the spacing between your eyes and your ears is a constant. So even though your ears may grow, your eyes are growing at the same time. It's like as you're growing up. That's why facial recognition can identify, you know, pictures of you when you were a baby or whatever, because the differential geometry of your face doesn't change, is what I guess they're saying. So the spacing between your features.
Differential geometry was my stripper name.
Oh, there we go. That is what I wanted to hear. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fucking news. Wow. I don't even... I don't even know what to do. We don't have contact, do we? But we have tech stuff. So I have to play this. Do I have to play the tech theme? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we have tech stuff.
All right, let's do that.
It's dubious intent technology segment time. It's dubious intent technology segment time. Come on, dubious intent listeners, and send in technology tech questions so that Adam can listen and Daniel can actually do the technology answering. It's dubious intent technology segment time. Let's call in and stump Adam again. That's hard.
How dare you? You know what? So we'll have a contact segment and we don't feel like we're, you know, we're like a three-legged table or something.
Yeah.
You could move the second card to contact and play the first one in the tech segment.
So am I going to play Matt's?
Yes.
In the tech segment?
Yes.
Let's listen to our technology question that comes in from Matt Burlingame.
Guys, it is Matt from Chub Gun Wild and Spanky the Arthur, and I have a tech question for you. So, I have an iPad, and on this iPad, sometimes I like to put naughty videos and naughty pictures on it. So, but here's the thing. When I go to my Google, my dear sweet Google interface that, you know, sucks the life of everything, like YouTube and everything, and makes it all like one big gigantic thing, and it sucks all your information out of everything, like your phone and everything else you have, it just sucks it all into one place. And on my iPad, sometimes these naughty videos and these naughty pictures, they end up being in, like, being sucked into Google Picture, Pixa, whatever the hell it is. And when I'm going to change my profile picture on G+, then all of a sudden it'll come up and it'll be like, oh, look, it's a penis. And it's so, you know, scary at first. But I tried to go through everything and make it not do that. I tried to turn off my sharing. I tried to turn off these damn clouds. I can't stand the fucking clouds everywhere. And I've been trying to make it so that it doesn't pick up from my iPad the things that are on my iPad, because I don't need them there. I don't need them on my G Plus stuff and in the pictures and stuff. So I want to know.
Yes.
I've tried going through the settings. I thought that I turned it all off, but it still does it. So my question is there a way to absolutely stop your stuff from my iPad from being backed up on all the G Plus stuff and all the Google stuff and all that shit? So
that's my question.
I would really appreciate it if there was an answer, because, you know, I just don't trust it that somebody's not, that I'm not going to, you know, accidentally click a button and suddenly share things that should not be shared. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
You know, so I've always thought that there should be, that you should be able to flag pictures as private. You know what I'm saying? Just on your regular Google Photos stream or whatever. If you just flag a picture as private, so that way it's like you would have to, like, it just wouldn't show it to you unless you went into the private folder or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because I have the same problems. Like, I'll have a picture or video or something that I took and it's automatically backed up to the cloud. And, you know, then you're pulling out your phone to show people your amazing trip to Orlando. And, you know, there's a big dick pic in front of them, right?
At church, you're trying to tune your trumpet.
So, I mean, I'm totally there with you, Matt. I feel you. I've taken a different tact than you. I've just decided, that's life and it sucks and I'm just going to live with it. But that's because I really do. I love the clouds, unlike you who hate the cloud. I'm going to hope that one day they're going to have that feature. But
I might have an answer.
Okay. But what I'm saying to you, Matt, though, is if things off your iPad are showing up on your Google Photos, and that means that you are running Google Drive as an app on your iPad. What a lot of people will go into the Google Photos app and they'll like try to find it in there where they don't want things to upload and everything. But it's your Google Drive app that you need to go to, because the underlying tech between those two, they like actually had the photo upload switch over to Google Drive like a year ago and they haven't fully migrated there. So that is more than likely what it is. To keep your iPad things on your iPad, go to the Google Drive app and turn it off.
So I'm looking at support.google.com.
Yes.
And what they say is, almost exactly what you said, if you have the Google Drive app installed on an iOS device and you also turned on backup in that app, you need to switch that off and the Photos app, if you have that off, both.
He said he turned it off. He knows he turned it off. And that's probably turned it off in Photos, but he didn't turn it off in Drive.
It says if you turned back up on in both the Photos and Google Drive apps, your Photos will still back up until you turn it off in both places. Yeah. So I think your answer was actually, so if you have Drive, you have to also turn it off there.
Yeah, and you probably do because you've gotten Google Documents from people and you want to read them on your iPad, which makes perfect sense. But the closest that I've ever come to it of finding this kind of solution is I downloaded a separate app that was a photo vault app. And so when I would take a photo or download a photo, I would move it into there and then go into my cloud and delete it from the cloud. But it just seems like such a natural thing. It's like, you know, I get in the first iteration of a product, maybe not overlooking something like that, but you know, people take photos on their phones that they don't necessarily want to have in their stream. Like it's one of those things, like if I lose all my dick pics, that's not a big deal, right? I can take more dick pics. It's just like, if I lose my, vacation photos, it was like, I can't go and take that vacation again. So it's just like, I just wish they had a way for you to flag things. It's like, yeah, I realize this isn't going to be backed up. Or maybe it is backed up and is put into a different folder or something. But yeah, it seems like they need to address this. Somebody needs to address this.
Yeah, and on computers, like if you have Google Drive or Photos or anything like that on your computer, you can select what folders you want to actually sync.
Yeah, but like, even then you miss one every so often. And it's not so much even the folders too. It's just the matter that you take a picture with your camera. Like as soon as I take a photo, it's automatically a backup. So it's like if I take a picture on my camera, aka my phone, right? And I set my phone down, I can walk over to my computer and go to photos.google.com and there's the picture. It's already on my photos because it's immediately backed up. And it's like, for the most part, that's what I want, right? I want it that way because if I lose my phone or if I have to switch phones, now I have all my pictures back, right? It's like they're because they all live in the cloud. But yeah, we've spent way too much time talking in this. I hope that helps, Matt. I'm going to help out another podcaster because I'm tired of hearing him have his stupid technology segment ruined with that old intro. So here, I'm going to do this intro for you, Fatty. So this is just one for you to replace. You ready? Here we go.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it.
The Big Fatty Online Technology segment brought to you by Dubious Intent. Check them out at dubiousintent.com. Excellent. It is the contact segment, the segment of the show. I see it's so bad. I actually moved it. Did you see that in Trello? When you said, like, you can move that one card from the tech segment to the contact segment. And I could have just played it. Like, it didn't matter where it was.
You could have.
But I did. Yep. I moved it. This is a voicemail that we got in through the email systems. It's called a tech question, but I don't really think it's a tech question. And, might be a bit long, but that's fine. That's fine.
Oh, so Kathy Bacon sent it in.
Kathy Bacon. It's from the mayor of Squareopolis. It's from TJ and her cohort, Larry Queen. Let's listen to it now, Adam, shall we? Here we go.
This is Hobart calling for the celebrity, the stupid tech a home debate? No, tech questions. I got the degeneration into the macula, the eye poops.
Dad, are you on the phone?
And I saw that. So I was looking on the interwebs tube thing, the cloud stuff. Sony has a patent on contact lenses.
Was that an edit point?
That have a built-in camera.
Did he edit
and,
this?
I was wondering, does it work like an old viewfinder where you gotta have a thing on the side of your face where you click to change the images?
Dad, I'm talking to you. Are you on the phone?
Does it just beam the pictures directly into your brain, or?
I'm so sure. You're screwing up my internet access. Will you please hang up?
Or what? Does it let you see the intertubes, or? Can we set it to monochromatic or something? Cause.
Oh my god, who are you talking to?
That might make me feel young. Like, just monochromatic, shades of browns. Real beautiful browns, you know, like an old Bev Biv DeVoe concert. You know, I'm getting tired of the odd looks from other people. You know, I can see that stuff really well, but yeah,
looking at me
with the zoetrope on my face, and that really doesn't help my
burnt.
Vision burnt, too yeah, well. I just kind of wind up, you know, flopping on the ground like a fish after about 10 minutes. It's really disconcerting.
Oh my god, is that Daniel and Adam?
I was wondering if it also.
How did she hear us? How did she hear us through the phone?
I'm sorry, I've never seen you struggle so hard. Oh my god! Usually I can't shut you up, but today you can't, dear.
Wow.
I'm having such a fucking hard time with this, I don't know why. Hi! This is Bob.
Yeah, we're
going to
send this. Bye.
Bye.
Great. Any idea what the...
Well, apparently they were amused with themselves.
Any idea what the fuck they were asking?
Well, he didn't really ask a question. So just to give you guys a little bit of technology on this, Sony did file a patent for a contact lens that takes photos.
Ah.
And this was fairly recently. The story is from May 2nd. So basically it says Sony filed a patent for smart contact lenses, joining the likes of Google and Samsung in the scramble to get in on the future of eyewear before the technology is readily available. The patent describes connected lenses that can capture a photo when the wearer blinks an eye, store that photo, and then send it to a wireless device like a smartphone, tablet, or computer.
Wow. Sounds exciting.
So, but it's basically just a drawing. We have all these at Walmart. They are now paying us to basically apply for patents. So now I have to think every day long, you know, every day, like a process that I'm following. Is this something that maybe someone else hasn't done in the world of test automation? So I can, you know, and they pay me a couple of $1,000. But the weird thing about it is you just have to have basically a drawing and some vague, you know, text.
Oh, no, our patent system is completely broken. It's so broken. It's not even funny how broken it is.
So they have absolutely no... Now, maybe they do, but in the patent, they have no proof that they can do any of this. They just have a drawing of a contact lens and where they think everything would go.
Right. And then they can,
and that's basically it.
And they can up because it's not an actual patent; it's a patent pending. But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The patents is, and when you extend that patent to the software industry, it becomes a sense where they don't even have to show code. They don't even have to show you how they're going to. It's like a patent could be as stupid, and they famously, I know This American Life actually got a patent granted for toast, like a patent granted for turning bread into toast. And it's just like, that's how broken the patent system is that, there's no, any kind of investigation to see whether this is prior, whether it already exists. And there's just thousands upon thousands of patent applications every day. And what happens in the software industry is that they'll patent something like being able to search your phone through the apps only on your phone by hitting search. Like Apple has a patent on being able to search through your apps. So Android actually had to take that feature away rather than go to court over this patent because they patented a process whereby in the search box you could specify that you were searching through your apps and as you typed in were only searching the apps instead of searching the web. It was just like, you know, just stupid things like that. This all goes back to the Lotus 1-2-3, like the look and feel patent argument, you know, that started it all.
It's ridiculous, but I've got a few ideas for some things I'm going to patent because first of all, having my name on a patent would be really cool.
So maybe you could patent something like not listening to your co-host. Like, can you patent that? Like,
maybe
the process by which you just smile and nod as someone else is talking, and then you observe for their lips to stop moving so that you know it's time to re-engage on a completely different topic.
Searching Twitter for cute Tylers.
Oh, is that why you kept checking Twitter was defined
no,
Tylers?
Actually, I was. Anyway, so I may have some patents in my name after another 6 months
see,
or so.
And oh yeah, says don't give them to your employer.
It'll be useless stuff.
That is our contact segment there, Adam. I don't know. You could patent a lot of things. You could patent.
Yeah, and in fact, the contracts that you sign to work for a technology company or any technology or anything, they own your intellectual property as long as you're working for them, because you're a salaried employee. So pretty much anything you do is owned by the company. So it doesn't matter.
Well, see, I don't have any kind of that. I haven't signed anything with this place, which is kind of weird, which is odd. It's probably the first place I've ever worked as a software person that didn't have that. But that's because they don't make software. So,
you know, I know you've been working on some stuff that might be patentable.
I have. Adam, let's just call that a show. I think that is a show. Some of the stuff that I've been working on. Oh, wait, I see what you're saying. You mean the stuff that I was trying to work on that I was like puppets. Like I could. I could patent the Adam Burns puppet.
Yes, you could.
You know, here's the thing, Adam, is our puppets will be coming back in a spectacular form here in the future. In the near future, you'll be seeing the puppets, more of the puppets. But I had to learn more about body proportion because your puppet like kind of didn't look right. So it's like I never took a drawing class or whatever. So I turned to the YouTube University and started finding videos on like, you know, just beginning drawing and figure drawing and things like that. And a lot of it really helped, because what I've realized is that I had some of the stuff really way out of proportion on your puppet. Like the head was too big for the body. And but I think the biggest change will be as far as the puppets go will be with Adam's animated lips. I had almost as much problems getting to that as like Larry did and trying to ask his tech question or something. I was expecting TJ.
Dad, you're messing up my internet.
Make the joke already, Dad. Hey, Adam S. Show, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can call our voicemail line, 229-234-7587, or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. Do we know if our email address is even working? Or?
We don't know yet, but I'm working on it.
Maybe you can send it to us, maybe not. We don't know. Anyway, that's the show. Hope you told Auntie Vera happy birthday and all that stuff. We'll be back next week, I guess. Something.
Well, I need to pee so bad.
Well, you can't until this thing is over, Adam. You have to wait for
the
jet.
In the bathtub.
It feels like it's taking forever for it to get there. Oh wait! Oh my God! There it's coming! It's coming! Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at Pride48.com.